The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's been a momentous week for KEFI Gold and Copper. The company hosted a groundbreaking ceremony at its Tulu Kapi gold mine in Ethiopia. This is a very significant development, both for the country and the company. The mine could generate net cash of between $150 million and $390 million per year, depending on the metrics and inputs that you use in your various models. Here to tell us the implications of the recent developments is Harry Agnostaris Adams, and we're going to watch a little bit of video of the opening ceremony as well. So, Harry, good to see you today. Let's look at a little bit of footage of the ceremony that took place, and you can perhaps tell us what we're looking at.
Yep, that'd be great. So that's a subdivision area adjacent to the local village. That's the Prime Minister. In the foreground, it's the President of Oromia. The fellow with the hat behind him is the Prime Minister of the country. You've got various local dignitaries around, also the Deputy Prime Minister, Governor of the Central Bank, Mines Minister, Health Minister, that's the British Ambassador, Darren Welch, very supportive, our Country Director, the Zonal Administrator. There's four levels of government, so all levels of government are here. Now walking up to a little sort of display, and I introduce the PM to our shareholders and other visitors. That's TDB Bank there. I'm introducing, that's AFC Bank, just introduced. That's some works taking place for the housing subdivision area. That's the village where we're sort of up the road from the village, making a new subdivision area. Some of the kit on the block. You can see it's a very fertile area, chocolate soil, you know, very fertile. Tulu Kapi local spending, a local spelling rather. Looks a bit funny perhaps to the Anglo eye. Governor of the Central Bank just behind the PM counting the pennies already. Prime Minister's sort of slipping into a personal commentary about how grey I've got since I've turned up in Ethiopia. Oh, there's a subdivision layout. The first phase, 140 houses, it'll look like what you're seeing. At some of the drill core, we explain some of the elementary geological characteristics. Very similar to WA. This is a WA-style project in every sense, and Australian contractors are leading the thing because of the background experience of everyone. All the trucks and excavators lined up to also wave and beep their horns. And this is the local community. Four levels of government in Ethiopia, plus a sort of unofficial fifth one is the local elders of the local hamlets. It's a very inclusive and, you know, consultative framework. And you can see how popular the PM is there with the local leaders. Everyone's very, you know, it's pretty hard to describe, you know, where this is the birth of a project, but it's also coinciding with the birth of a widespread democracy. And you know, it perhaps sort of whizzed along a bit too quickly over the last few years, and the country had a bit of a wobble, which is why we slowed down, and everybody has been very frustrated. The community, the federal government, the company, everybody thought we'd get going much earlier. And the introduction of profound and very positive for the long-term reforms made us effectively slow down, and now it's all settled down again. We're getting on with it. And so I mentioned that because you can see there the excitement that it's all happening and it's all working. You know, it's no longer the effort to introduce projects, no longer the effort to introduce wide-ranging democratic reform. It's just the exhilaration, if you like, and it was palpable, you know, the exhilaration that, wow, you know, the country's taking off, you know, here's democracy in action. Look at how popular the whole scene was. You could feel it, I think, through that video. You know, great relief. Our staff, you know, I can't speak highly enough of our staff. You know, you talk to me, we only authorize one person to speak, but it fails to convey the depth of the quality of our team and the commitment of our team. And I'd like to just mention that, because people on these investor, you know, videos or podcasts don't get a feel for that. And if there was one thing that our visitors, for our shareholders and banks and others, felt that they commented to me about, was they were taken aback how deep our team is, how strong our team is. They just didn't realise. And, of course, they're not on camera. It's not their job to be running around, we're conversing with all our stakeholders. They've got a job to do, and they stick to it. But I'd like to pay tribute to all of them, to be honest. And I think that was the most rewarding thing to me of the day, really, was that all those people who've worked quietly and, determinedly behind the scenes were given the honour of the government's leadership, the whole team of government leadership turning up and doing two things, I suppose. One is blessing our effort, anointing our effort, and the other thing is saying, get on with it and let's get cracking. And that sense of, exhilaration and frantic sort of wheel spinning, that was the prevailing mood of the day, and a great relief to have got to that point, Alistair.
Yeah, so sticking with the ceremony itself for a moment, Harry, it was quite a lively affair by the looks of it, quite a sort of vibrant ceremony. It didn't seem sort of stulted or official or too formal or any of those things that you might have a fear of going into a formal government ceremony like that. And the Prime Minister himself looked pretty active and engaged there.
I mean, he is, I don't say this for promotional reasons, he's a very charismatic and feet on the ground kind of person, incredibly hardworking. This is the most hardworking government I've ever seen anywhere. They're at it 24/7, it feels like, anyway, to me, because I'm getting messages at all sorts of hours from leaders of government at times when, it's an issue to deal with or whatever. And it's 7 days a week. There's just no stopping, And this country's on a serious building mission. And it's the gold industry, is an important part of that. And therefore, Tulu Kapi, Alistair, how challenging it's been in the past, and how long it's taken. And that sense of, frustration or anticipation has been felt right down to the community. The shareholders of the company are not unique in feeling that sense of frustration. There are thousands of people who have been awaiting, and at last all these businessmen and government leaders turned up to say, thank you for waiting, it's game on, let's get on with it. And that moment was critically important for the community, for our staff. There's a multitude of contractors already mobilised. How would I put it? Nobody can make an excuse, in a sense. This is a new industry and there's lots of things being learnt on the ground by lots of people. Our contractors and mining experts have done it many times. But integrating it into society and maximising local employment and procurement and so on, logistical management, all these things. It takes a lot of commitment to break new ground in a cultural sense and a way one does things around here type of sense. The discipline we impose on a scene takes people aback. We're quite, I don't know if militaristic is the right word, but we're very, very disciplined on the way we do things. And that's a pretty cultural shock, you know, to a quiet, lovely rural community. And they're sort of getting it now that it's, wow, you know, when they say we need a decision next Wednesday on this topic, actually these guys mean it and they need it. And not only do they say it, this bunch of, you know, Aussies and others, you know, asking for things to happen, but by golly, you know, the whole government leadership team turned up to say it's serious and these guys are real. Well, let's get on with it. And, you know, if you've got a problem, collaborate and sort it out and get on with it. And that, in when one commences an execution of a project, it's critically important to get motivation and energy flowing. You know, all the talking, negotiating, hard-assed, you know, demanding, and all the things one has to do to introduce, you know, $500 million of investment into a country that's not done it before. Is very demanding, and it's all, to the outsider, it's all boring legalistic stuff. But now all that hard sort of negotiation and legal framework has to get turned into action every day on the ground to deliver. We're on now, you know. Banks are on, everyone's on, and we now it's all about execution. And the ceremony was about launching that moment and telling everybody we're not mucking around, and it's right from the top. Everybody better perform. That's what the meaning of the moment is to me. You know, obviously I get some gratification from it that it's finally arrived, but the real meaning of it is it's game on, and the man number one said, "Yeah, everybody better perform." That to me is the key.
Yeah, it couldn't be more official, really, could it? You've got the Prime Minister, you've got the governor of the local province, you've got the British ambassador, you've got some serious investors there. So groundbreaking ceremony. That means construction is officially underway. Can we say that now, Harry?
Yeah.
And so what will that mean? Now you've got construction underway. What are you going to do? How long will it take?
Well, step one in construction is to clear the land that we have to build on. So it's got 350 households on it in small farms making up the area of the mining license. And so step one really is resettling a community. And that you saw where they're being moved to. They were given, I've lost track of how many choices of where they wish to go. And they elected and they asked for a new subdivision in the local village about 10 km from the mining site. And that's what you saw there. There are some bibs and bobs of infrastructure on the mine site already, but we can't go in there with earth-moving kit until people have been moved from their farms and set up properly. So the first few months is about that. You know, the construction people are out there now, you know, laying it all out, and house designs approved, and materials for the house erections being delivered. During that same 3 months of getting the first people resettled, and some of them are going into rental accommodation to speed it up so we can get onto the land more quickly. They've been very collaborative to help us get going. Whilst that's happening, also procurement, long lead items, particularly the SAG mill, you know, to get them fabricated internationally where they're being built for delivery to site, you know, starting towards the end of the year. At the same time, roads are being built, because at the moment it takes hours and hours, particularly earth-moving, heavy haulage gear, takes way too long to get to site, bending and twisting all sorts of little country roads. So we're getting two new roads put in, cut through to make it a half-hour journey for normal traffic, and perhaps an hour for heavy vehicle traffic, all-weather, fast access roads. Electricity connection, substations being built in the local main town. It's called Gimby. And and the towers are being delivered on site, and the cabling and so on for, you know, erection of the towers. And then, you know, the Lycopodium, the main contractor, designed and built more than 60 plants similar to this in Africa, in 20 different countries in Africa, let alone every other continent on the planet, hailing originally from Western Australia. I've known them for decades. They've formed up their team, they've mobilized their team, they've completed all the front-end engineering and design, procurement packages. They will land, so to speak, on Tulakapi ground as soon as they can get onto the ground and start directing traffic on the ground in a few months. In the meantime, they're doing procurement planning, logistics, you know, all that stuff. Mining services contractor, BCM, I think perhaps the first West Australian mining contractor to go into Africa about 40 years ago. They went into Ghana and they grew with Ghana. And now the son of that founder is moving them into East Africa. East Africa is the next West Africa, so to speak. That's what the Aussie vernacular is amongst the, you know, the Australian explorer and producers in West Africa, that it's maturing as a vicinity for a number of reasons. And East Africa is just, you know, being born as a gold vicinity for the industry. The local construction people, I think I mentioned, have been mobilized onto the housing site. Recruitments, you know, very active, you can imagine. We've got in place our long-standing chief operating officer, who's a world expert at building teams and organizations, systems, policies, procedures, managing director for the development in country. Under him, we've appointed the operations manager recently. Social's been on the ground, environment's been on the ground, project management's been on the ground, our people on the ground at site, getting ready for Lycopodium's little army to turn up, sort of thing. So it's a flip, you know, it's an inflection from hard-ass negotiation and all that stuff and execution. And yeah, it's about time and, you know, great feeling.
Yeah, and I mentioned some of the numbers at the top of the conversation, Harry. Perhaps just before we leave, it might be worth recapping how good the Tulakapi operation looks from a financial point of view. We've got a range of cash flow per year, depending on the gold price, between about $150 million and $390 million. And at the moment, with the gold price where it is, we're at the top end of that. So it looks like this should be a very lucrative operation for all parties concerned, including the Ethiopians themselves and the local communities.
Yeah, well, how would I summarize? As far as I know, no one's ever challenged me on this. It's the highest grade, highest margin new gold development in Africa. And African gold projects generally are higher grade than the global average. So it's at the high end of economic potential. The reason when Simon Cleghorn, the managing director, he and I and a group of others went to assess this project when we were asked to come in and fix it by the previous owners, we went and inspected another project, which a high profile project now on the border with South Sudan, and this one here appealed to us because we knew we'd have to make it project financeable, which it's shorthand for saying it has to comply with all the standards, social, environmental, technical, everything. And being on the border is a bit more challenging from a number of viewpoints in Africa than it is being well away from the border. In addition, this project had no artisanal, it had no artisanal history, which is shorthand for saying it has no social legacy or environmental legacy issues. And so for us, it was a clean skin to develop it the right way from ground zero. And then, of course, it has the high grade and the free milling ore and classic WA style. And so when we were asked to fix it, the things that entered my mind were safe, clean, high grade, and boy, I could wheel in the Kalgoorlie Brigade, and they've done it 100 times. This will be easy to fix. That was my sort of thought process. So now we jump forward 10 years to the moment of execution, and we've got a higher gold price than I had ever imagined for reasons that are quite fundamental. It's not some sort of bubble. There's a major reallocation of capital in the world to safe havens, and gold is, you know, for 5,000 years has been the most precious of safe havens. And it's completely disconnected itself from the cost of production, the gold price. And so the cost of our production is around about $1,000 an ounce, all in sustaining costs, depending on what gold price, because it goes up and down with the royalty component. You add in debt service, and it's, $1,300, $1,400, depending upon which particular level you assume for the gold price. And I don't know anybody who thinks gold is going to go back into that territory. I mean, when there's a liquidity crisis in the world and people have to sell gold quickly, I'm sure it'll take a dip and then it'll recover itself quite quickly, as it always does. But no one that I know can see gold going down to those territories again. So, you know, up in the, we do our analysis in the sort of $3,000 to $6,000 belt of price assumptions. And under any of those prices, it wouldn't take more than 2 years to repay all the project debt if we wanted to repay it all completely. Plus generate some surplus cash to start distributing to dividends and, you know, celebrating some financial reward for all of us patient shareholders. I mean, that's the general overview. I think from the point of view of, again, marking the moment, you know, the execution schedule on this is, on the one hand, you've got a tenacious bunch of management who will whip the system as hard as possible. And I think anyone who knows us will know that we are a tenacious bunch of managers. We also have world's best and fit for purpose, world-class contractors on the gold plant design and mine design and earth moving. We know how to assemble a multicultural team. It won't be Aussies or Canadians or any one area. It's quite a multicultural team that's already emerging. It'll include people from the former Soviet Union, from South Africa, from Australia, from Canada, a very multicultural team, and that's being deliberately done to embed the company into the most important culture, which is the Ethiopian culture. Delivery on this is not about whether we know how to build a mine or execute a mine. It's certainly not about the gold price and the economic metrics. Success on this is about the country being proud and committed to support and facilitate, whether it's customs clearance of a four-wheel drive vehicle in Djibouti, or whether it's some logistical issue out in the Western PAC blocks where we are. It's all about locals wanting and being committed to support. And that's all about motivation and what's in it for everybody. And what's in it for everybody is that we've already made it clear that we're biasing towards local procurement. So there, you know, micro enterprises already being spawned to develop local supply chains to supply. You can imagine having 1,000 people on site, how many chickens and eggs and tomatoes and maize and whatever that needs a day just to feed these people. The Ethiopian equivalent of Airbnbs will start popping up all around the site shortly. You know, health services, education services, it's all on. And that triggering by the Prime Minister yesterday was a sort of a political ceremonial symbol. But every day, as something happens on the ground, it sweeps up people who don't have lucrative jobs and puts them into lucrative jobs. It sweeps up people who are wondering how they get involved and gives them an involvement and a contribution to make. And it's that momentum building that's the key to success on this. It's not all the army of lawyers and the bankers and the experts internationally or the investors internationally. What makes this happen is local commitment, local drive, local empathy, and real commitment from everybody. That's what yesterday was about. It was about that. And I think you picked it up. It was a good spirit. It wasn't stuffiness and stuff. It was, I put on my suit and tie to show respect, but the whole thing needed dry cleaning within a few hours. I can tell you it was a pretty, dusty place with all the helicopters flying in and out. But anyway, there you are. And one thing I'd like to sort of just mention is I think anyone who visited Addis Ababa would be taken aback. It's actually booming before one's eyes as a modern city. It looks more like a London than what most people think of as a modern, as an African capital city. Skyscrapers and big wide roads and all that sort of stuff. And the other thing is the takeoff of the economy, the continent's largest hydro scheme, the continent's main airline, a $10 billion airport being built just down the road from Addis to be the hub of Africa. So there's this palpable energy of, takeoff. And the flip side of it being the only country that's never been colonized in Africa. You know, the Italians had a flotation that lasted a few years and then kicked out with the help of Britain. But it was never colonized. A flotation for a few years only bequeathed spaghetti and pizza to the place. It didn't bequeath any institutions of the government of the country. The country is a very special country in its sort of strength and independence. And the flip side of it never being colonized and it being an empire until 1974. And then a Soviet-backed regime until 1991. And only now, opening up to the mining industry, and we're seen as a sort of an innovator in that sense, because it's new, means that the gold's still there. You know, there's been artisanal workings in this country since the days of the pharaohs. But as of 2 years from now, there'll be three industrial scale mines. And two of them will have been built in these 2 years. And so, it is literally the birth of an industry in a country that's bursting to develop the industry. I've got no doubt that Tulu Kapis will mushroom around the country as they did around Kalgoorlie over the next 20 years. And it's terrific to be part of that. So I'm sorry I banged on a bit, Alistair. I told you I'd be short, but I got carried away.
No, I mean, there's so much to talk about, isn't there? It's such an exciting prospect. I mean, for now, Harry, I guess we'll wrap it up. But I should say that I thought the Prime Minister had the best hat and he looked like he was enjoying himself. So that's probably the most important thing to mention. Everyone had a good time there. And it looked like the atmosphere was very positive. So congratulations on the groundbreaking. We look forward to the news of construction and development as it continues forward. And wishing you all the best for the future endeavours, Harry.
And I'm going to drag you out there and show you when we pour the first gold. You'll have to come out, Alistair.
I'll be glad to. I'm looking forward to it already.
Okay, thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.